Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Hey, y'all, it's John Hancock. I got my headphones figured out, which that's always a good start to the evening. And going to be with you for the next 2 hours here. I guess we call this total information and or at your service, something like that. And typically, you'll find me and my partner Michael Kelly on in the morning, on Friday mornings for Charlie Brennan. Occasionally, we pop up in the afternoon filling in for the vacationing Mark Reardon. But going to give this a shot tonight. My partner Michael Kelly is on a little vacation. He's out in Mexico. In fact, he had tickets to the Rams-Chiefs game in Mexico City. And that game has just been relocated to Los Angeles, California. It's going to be a big Monday night football matchup between 2-9-1 teams, the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be a very good football game. Originally was going to be in Mexico City, but it's coming back to Los Angeles where there is smoke in the air. And joining us right now in what has become the deadliest wildfire in California history is CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman, who lives in the area. Steve, welcome to KMOX.
Great to be with you.
So what's the latest? We now have become this has now become the deadliest wildfire in California history?
Yeah, the campfire, which is the one north of Sacramento near that town with a name to have in a situation like this, Paradise, California. That's the town where 42 people have been killed in that fire. We're getting an update right now. That number is likely to rise tonight. We have a 6 o'clock local time, 8 o'clock central time briefing each night. So that number usually rises. But right now it's 42, making it the deadliest fire in California history. The other major fire, there are two major fires, is in Southern California. That's the Woolsey Fire. That's the one near Malibu where we've had around 400 or 500 homes destroyed there. In the campfire, the number of destroyed homes is astounding, more than 6,000 right now. It's remarkable.
It is just devastating. And California, of course, has had wildfires throughout its history. This is not new, but these seem to be at a level and a frequency unlike anything we've seen before.
Yeah, we've seen in the last few years, we've seen fires like this, very aggressive fires, very fast-moving fires, fires that do things that fires in the past never did. They're a different kind of fire. They just become, like I said, a lot more aggressive. If a fire can have a personality, these fires do have that, and they move so quickly. They were estimating today that at its peak, the campfire, the one near Sacramento, was moving so quickly. This might be an exaggeration, but not much. It was moving around 30 football fields per minute. That means around every 2 seconds, it was going 100 yards. It was moving so quickly at one point. Now, obviously, things have changed. Firefighters are getting the upper hand. They're making progress. When we began the conversation, it might change while we talk, but 30% containment in the campfire, the fire down here in Southern California, 35% containment. So they're making progress.
So fighting the fires is clearly, especially dealing with those Santa Ana winds, a big, big challenge. There must be a great deal of discussion going on about what, if anything, can be done to prevent these things in the first place. Is there anything that can be done?
Well, I mean, you're not going to change nature. We have the Santa Ana winds every year around this time, October and November. So climate-wise, you're not going to change much. Now, there is a discussion that it has become a political issue, I would say, unfortunately, that's my opinion. But the whole issue, are we experiencing climate change? Something seems to be happening that has changed things. We've had a big drought here in California, not to say there have never been droughts before, but it does seem that there is some type of change, whether it's a complete change or just a cyclical change, we don't know. But the last few years, the climate has lent itself to having different kinds of fires. Now, these fires may have been caused by sparks emanating from power stations, Pacific Gas and Electric up north, Southern California Edison in the LA area, and that will be looked at as well. We're trying to find out the cause of these fires. Was it just natural man-made, or was there a specific cause? If there was a specific cause, you can try to do something about that. But as someone said today, you need power. You're not going to be, you're not going to say, well, gee, let's not have power stations in these mountainous areas, because people live in these areas now. So there's, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation in many ways.
Well, it's just a tragedy, and of course, far less important than the tragedy, but still something I think that's worth noting. California, a very expensive state generally in which to live. Housing is expensive, cost of living very expensive.
Yep, absolutely.
What's going to happen to insurance rates in that state after this, just fire after fire after fire?
Yeah, it's not just 1 or 2 years. We're now going 3 straight years with really monstrous costing fires. Now, the federal government obviously comes in all the time and does help a great deal. FEMA, federal emergency pronouncements allow federal money, federal assistance to come through. So the federal government will help California, as it always does. Even with President Trump's tweets about his belief that California has mismanaged the forest, its forest situation here, the federal government is going to help. How it's going to affect insurance companies, I just don't know. They understand the risks. That's why your rates are certain ways that they are. They may raise the rates. They may put people into special categories if they live in higher risk areas. That's up to the insurance companies.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's I appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been chasing this thing all day. Steve Futterman, CBS News correspondent, he joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Hey, Steve, be safe. Take care.
I'll be safe. Take care of you, too.
All right. So when we come back, those are the fires. I don't know about you, but I love my dog. You love your dog, Anderson?
I have fish.
You got fish.
Well, that's but I love them.
That's an expensive animal. I love my dog, and I just wonder if there are limits to how much we love our pets. I've got a little story about a situation I'm going through. Might want to check in with you, too, to see how much you love your pets. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. The Times and Tribulations of Gus the Mutt. That's next on KMOX.
First with breaking news, KMOX, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Hey, 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 it's John Hancock with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Ryan Record takes over Overnight America from there. So, you know, my history with pets has been checkered. And I had a dog when I was a kid growing up, Cisco, good dog. And then managed to live many, many years without a dog. And then we had kids. And so the kids were little. They wanted a dog. So we went and got a dog, a free free dog, and Brownie, who I am convinced was part coyote. And about a year into that experience, Brownie ripped my lip off. And so I got 225 stitches in my lip. And Brownie relocated. And so we went a little longer without a dog. And then we got Gracie, the golden retriever, and a great dog, very loyal, you know, always glad to see you. And the only problem with Gracie is that she ate the couch and about 15 pairs of shoes, most of them friends of my kids, so I had to pay to replace them. Gracie also ate $57 in cash over the course of her life, and she was quite prolific, and she lived to be 9.5 years old, got cancer, and sadly, she passed away. And the kids were getting older. I thought we were probably finished with the whole pet thing. And I woke up on a Saturday morning about 3 years ago, and I came down the stairs. And my daughter, who was in high school at the time, is holding a little fluffy ball of fur. And I looked down, and she said, "Look, Dad, it's Gus." And I said, "He's not moving out, is he?" And she said, "No, no, it's our new dog." And so they didn't tell me. So we get Gus 3 years ago. Now, Gus is, I hope he's not listening, Gus is a mutt, and now we've told him for the last 3 years that he is an Icelandic sheepdog. So he believes that he is an Icelandic sheepdog, and he's very proud of that fact. He comports himself as an Icelandic sheepdog. He kind of leans into your leg to keep you, you know, that's what sheepdogs do. They keep the sheep from roaming around. Cute little guy, yeah, about 50 pounds. So we came home from vacation this summer. I guess it was probably August, and August, September, I can't remember. We get home, and Gus is limping. And so we figure, you know, maybe he stepped on something, you know, and he kind of limps, and a month goes on, and he's still limping. And so my wife says, and I've got about $4,000 worth of damage on the rear end of my car that I need to get fixed. It was may have been my fault, and so I can't turn it into the insurance company. So I've been kind of saving up to fix my car, and but Gus is limping, and so he goes to the vet, and turns out he's got a rare condition, of course, and we got him from the, you know, he was a rescue mutt, Icelandic sheepdog. And it turns out he got neutered so young that his bones didn't develop properly. Long story short, the knee joint of his left rear leg is completely disconnected from the bone. And so he's got a floater out there, and therefore he can't put any weight on his left leg, and he'd been limping around for a while. But good news, there is a procedure, very rare procedure. In fact, so rare that we were considering flying in a veterinarian from Boston, Massachusetts to perform the surgery on Gus. That was going to cost a penny. And then we found out, we're very fortunate, there's a Dr. Fox at the University of Missouri in Columbia School of Veterinary Medicine, who has pioneered a new procedure to splice these bones together. And he can do it, and it only costs about $4,000. So you go down and you write a $2,000 check on the front end, and I guess if things don't go well, you don't have to pay the. I don't know how that works. So he does the surgery. He fuses the bones. We go 4 days later. We pick Gus up there from the University of Missouri, Columbia. So that's an hour and 45 minutes in gas and so forth. And Dr. Fox comes out. He shows us the x-ray. He said, man, it's great. It really couldn't have gone better. His leg looks super. He said, that'll be another $2,000. So I'm writing the check there, and he says, you know, he says there's a there's a 50% chance that the other leg's going to go. So, which is nice to find out at that point. So I'm $4,000 in, but that's not all. Turns out that the recommended recovery for a dog that's had this particular kind of surgery is you need to put them in a facility for a few weeks so that they can get daily physical therapy on the leg and periodic laser treatments on the muscle of the leg to help stimulate the muscle. So that's another $1,000. And then when you get them home, you've got another 5 weeks where they've got to be confined. And so for 5 weeks, my wife has spent every night sleeping on the floor of the family room with Gus. And now she moved into the bedroom last Friday night, which I don't want to go into details, but very happy about that. And Gus, thankfully, is doing great. Now, we've had to buy little stairs so he can walk up the stairs to get on the bed at night because he likes to sleep on the bed. We had to invest in some new furnishings for Gus. The couch is a little lower now than it used to be because he likes to jump on the couch, and he's doing great, but I'm figuring I'm about $5,600 into this thing. It got me thinking, is there a limit of what you would not do for your pet? Because I am happy to report that Gus, at the age of 3, is walking on all fours. He's running a little bit. He's got a smile on his face. He's off of the sedatives now, which he was pretty mellow there for a while. He's back to being Gus, and he's full of life, full of vinegar. So 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. What would you do for your pet? Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on KMOX.
Hi there. It sounds like Gus recovered quite nicely.
He's doing very well.
Well, good for him. I've been in a quandary about my puppy dog, Molly, for months now, since May 1st. She was diagnosed with diabetes, and about a few weeks earlier than this. And then around May 1st, woke up blind.
Ooh.
Cataracts.
How old is Molly?
She was a rescue. I adopted her on December 20th, Christmas Eve, 2013, and they said that they estimated that she was 5 years old then. So
she's 9.
I'm guessing she's 10 yep. plus or minus.
Okay, yeah.
So, and I took her to, I also had contacted the University of Missouri in Columbia and got an estimate, verbal estimate from them. And then I went to, they referred to a doctor in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
Took it to him, and he said, it's going to talking somewhere around $3,300 to get her sight back. Well, that's only part of it.
Trust me. It's only part of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. As I found out about yours too, the few weeks hotel stay.
Right.
So the problem is that she's aggressive and she doesn't even like me to. If I say, show me your teeth, she'll start growling, and especially a stranger. And now that she's blind, she's overcautious. So he said that she's not a good candidate because she's, because for the next 4 weeks after the surgery, four times a day, every 4 hours, you have to put the salve in both eyes.
Man. Yeah, yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot, Jeff.
Right. So I'm thinking, she's going to be wearing this cone thing.
Yeah.
Which she's not going to like. So I'd have to get her to take the cone off, then put a muzzle on her, then hold her steady to get these two salve things in her eyes, rub her eyes, and do that every 4 hours for 30 days. And then have to take the muzzle off and put the cone, try to put the cone back on her. That would be a feat in itself.
Jeff, I think my advice would be you need to carefully walk Molly, let her get acclimated to being sightless. There's plenty of people out there that have had remarkable careers sightless. I'm thinking about Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder.
And you know what? She has acclimated to the house. She knows it.
Yeah.
She does all right. She still bumps into things, and it just tears my heart across.
It's tough. It's tough. But, the other good thing is you don't have to worry about shaving every day now.
Well, so, I've been pondering it. But, like I said, before we went on the air, my heart says automatic. Let's get her eyes back so she'll be as lively and fun as she was. But, my wallet says
I
don't have that kind of money.
Jeff, no guilt for you, buddy. You're loving that dog. You're taking care of that dog. You're nursing her through her condition with the diabetes and the blindness. You're doing just fine. Hey, thanks for calling, and good luck with you and Molly out there.
Well, I appreciate it, and good luck with Gus as well.
Thank you very much. That was Jeff. So, I guess a lot of us go through this, and I know a number of friends who've had pets that get diagnosed with cancer. And, you go through and you do the biopsy, and then, you did make a call on the surgery and the chemo, and, you could easily be $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 into that for your pet. And we do love our pets in this culture of ours. And I must say, there is a richness to life that, unless they're like my first dog ripping your lip off and causing you 200 stitches, dogs, pets, cats, even cats, I suppose, for some, provide a real blessing in life. And sometimes you just have to bite the bullet. So that's what I know about pets. That's what I know about love of pets. That's what I know about the cost of taking care of your pets. Hey, when we come back, if you got a thought on this topic, 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. And we're going to transition into the wonders of Thanksgiving and all of the family getting together. And for many, it's a great time. And for others, it's the most stress you'll ever have in your whole stinking life. Thanksgiving coming up after this on KMOX.
The voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Hey, welcome back. It's John Hancock at your service until 10 o'clock. Ryan Record takes over after that with Overnight America. I'm sure he'll have some fascinating things coming up. I'm the political guy. I do politics for a living. I do radio as a hobby. And based on what they're paying me, it's a hobby. So, we've been talking about my dog, Gus, and how much we love our pets out there. And would we do anything for them, or would we? And is there a limit to what you do for your pets? And we may have struck a chord with a couple of you out there. And Jim is joining us. Jim, you're on KMOX. You've got a story about a dog.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
I had a dog about 15 years ago that got hit by a pickup truck.
Ooh.
It was a little dog, a little lap dog.
Yeah.
And I took it to the veterinarian and took x-rays and that, and they said it had I believe it was two broken pelvises and a hip. And he started out, he wanted $5,000 for the operation.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I said, no. And before my wife and I left his office, he was down to $500.
What?
And I said, well, yes, it kept coming down, down, down. And I said, well, think about it. We walked out, my wife says, $500. I said, Dave, I says, he started at $5,000. He's down to $500. Something's wrong here. So I contacted a friend of mine in Illinois.
Yeah.
And she takes all of her farm dogs or animals to this veterinarian up there. And I took him the x-rays. And he looked at it. He says, we have a lot of farmers that come in here with dogs that got hit by implements or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to put money in it. He says, I suggest to them, they get a big box that they cannot climb out of.
Yeah.
With a lot of soft material in there from the Leon.
Yeah.
Take her food and dilute it with water so it's very thin because you don't know it affected her bowels or that. And give her water and do not take her out of that box.
Leave it in the box.
Or anything.
Yeah.
She was in that box for probably, I'm going to say a month.
Yeah.
And all once, and I take her out every day to do her business, and then I'd have to wash her because she fell into her butt, you know. But anyhow.
Too much information there, Jim, but go ahead.
After about a month, I could tell that she was wanting to get out, and she'd get out, and she'd run around on her front legs.
Yeah.
Probably 6 months. And then she started putting her hind legs down. And before she died, she was running on all four.
It's a miracle.
And it cost me nothing but a box.
It's a miracle. A box. I could have put Gus in a box for a month and saved my $5,000 out there.
I'm not saying yours could have been the same way.
Oh, you know? All right.
But I went to that farmer doctor, and he told me, you know, that's what they do with dogs. They get run over by implements. And
now, this is really at your service we're doing here now, folks. Hey, Jim, thanks for that call. So what we're saying here is that if your dog gets hit by a truck, put it in a box. And, you know, put some fluffy stuff in the box so that, you know, the dog's comfortable. And if your dog is like Jim's dog there, why, he'll be running around in about 6 months on all four legs, happy as a clam, and you've just saved $5,000. Warren, you're on KMOX.
Hi, how are you?
I've never been better, Warren. How about you?
Good. I'm a dog lover.
Yep, well, obviously I am as well.
I have a dog, Nick, looks like a 135-pound German Shepherd.
That's a big dog.
But he's half black lab. So my insurance company said, do you have a security system? Yeah, I have a 135-pound German Shepherd.
Who needs ADT when you got Nick out there?
Yeah, yeah, why do I need a camera?
I'm with you, buddy.
Thank you. But second story, if you ever have a chance to adopt, seriously, a retired seeing eye dog.
Yeah, yeah.
The most trained, lovable.
I'll bet that's right.
Yeah. Second story. Before the seeing eye dog, I had a dog that had a cancerous tumor. So seriously. So I called a friend of mine who is the retired professor of oncology at the University of California, San Francisco.
Yeah.
He had won many awards from the American Cancer Society for his research. And I said, what should I do about this dog? And he said, put it to sleep. And I said, immediately. And I said, why? And he said, well, the cancerous tumor that started in the feline population, it's called the feline virus, and then went to the canine population. He said, if you look at that virus under an electron microscope, that virus is very similar to the AIDS virus.
Whoa! Now you're getting a little technical on me out there, Warren. I got some other callers, so I need to move along. And how about that? You got cats and dogs and Bob. Bob, you're on KMOX.
Hey, this is John Hancock, right?
Last time I checked, Robert. Yes.
Well, I have a story about my cat.
Yeah.
Years ago, but I also have to. I definitely have a comment on your nemesis.
Uh-oh. Michael Kelly?
Yes, sir. I think he is more argumentative than truthful. Does he really believe everything he says?
Well, as far as I know, he does, yes.
Okay.
I don't think he's, like, making it up over here.
Okay, that's clear. Now, we had a cat. It was the most awesome cat we ever had. Our neighbor abandoned it. and the other neighbor was supposed to take care of it, but it didn't. We adopted
those
it.
Darn neighbors. I'll tell you what. What was the cat's name, Bob?
Smokey.
Smokey the cat. All right.
Smokey. He was black. He was basically black and white.
Yeah.
And he was kind of a long hair cat.
Okay.
He ended up getting cat leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another cat named String Bean, which was the most fierce cat in the world.
Yeah. But,
you know, you have to draw the limits on how much money you can spend on these animals. I can't believe you spent so much money.
Bob, I can't believe I spent so much money.
On the animal.
But Gus is, you know, I mean, he's worth every nickel. We'll find out. He may save my life one of these days, Bob. Thank you very much. That was Bob. You know, dogs will do that, Michael Anderson. They'll save your life. I've never seen a cat save anybody's life. The dogs, you know, they'll come get you up when the fire alarm, you can't hear the smoke detector, and the dog will rawr, 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 get you out of bed and lead you out the door. So he may save my life one of these days. Last thought on this topic from our good friend Jim. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Good evening, Mr. Hancock. You know, if Kelly is any kind of friend, he'd be footing a bill for this.
Well, you know, he goes on these exotic vacations, and you know, he's got to take care of first things first. Now, there's a guy. He's never had a dog.
Well, he needs one.
He does need a dog. Well, we got to get him married first. So, which is a pretty tall order, but that's a topic for another day. Go right ahead, Jim.
Okay, I had a friend of mine contact me about this puppy who's in a shelter, and the shelter is going to put him down.
Ooh.
So I said, well, mine's getting old, so I'll take him. Of course, my old dog lived another 4 years.
Yeah.
And then a week after I got him, he had full-blown parvo. So I've got more invested in him than I do my retirement.
No kidding. I mean, they are expensive. How's he doing now?
Oh, he's great. He's crazy as they come, and he's going on 7 years old.
Oh, well, he's midlife. That's all right. Jim, thanks so much. That's good stuff. It was Jim joining us. Everybody wants to get their 2 cents in about poor Michael Kelly. He's not here to take it tonight. He's in Mexico. He'll be back. I don't know. He's on one of these extended vacations. He'll have to be back by Thanksgiving, which reminds me, I wanted to talk about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's an interesting time. So, you know, I'm 54 now. So we are now the Thanksgiving hosts for the family. And that's a weird transition because, you know, you're a kid and you're at your mom and dad's house for Thanksgiving. You're living there. And then you go to college. You come home for Thanksgiving. And at some point, you know, Lord willing, you fall in love and you get married. Now you got two families. So there's that period of time where you're bouncing around. And Thanksgiving, it becomes like a mad dash. You almost get whiplash and you eat so much turkey and you can't stay awake for the drive home after the second meal. And it's really a stressful situation. My daughter's going through that now with her fiance. She's got two families and bouncing around. But at some point you transition and you become the Thanksgiving host. And that's the fine position in which we now find ourselves in the family. And so we got all these folks coming over. And, you know, it's interesting. I have noticed there's been an evolution of Thanksgiving. And I remember as a young lad, Thanksgiving Day, you'd get up in the morning and you're cooking and mom's got the stuff going and the turkey's in the oven and the mashed potatoes. My dad made the best mashed potatoes, man. He had. My dad was a boner at the packing house originally. It's his first job. And so the carcasses would come down and you'd physically yank the bone out of the beef carcass as a kid. Very strenuous job. And man, my dad could pound the heck out of those potatoes. He made the best mashed potatoes. Anyway, and it's just kind of an all-day thing. My mom's macaroni and cheese was to die for, homemade, very good. And all the fixings, you know, it's Thanksgiving. And then the family would sit down and grandma and grandpa would come and we'd have Aunt Totsie and Uncle Tim and the whole family would be there. And we'd sit down at the table, and we'd talk. We'd eat, and we'd talk, and we'd talk, and we'd eat. And we'd say what we're thankful for. Everybody kind of chimed in. It was a lengthy conversation. And what I have noticed over the years is that the time at the table on Thanksgiving has reduced from like an hour and 15 minutes to where you sit down, you've done all this work, and you prepared all this food, and all these people sit down. And then, poof, 12 minutes. You get through, in my case, a plate and a half, maybe two. sometimes two and a half, but I'm not going to go any further than that. And but you get through this, and then of course the football's on. So you know, and now on Thanksgiving there's football in morning, noon, and night. You know, there's three games on Thanksgiving Day, and so that's kind of a tradition. You watch the football game. Although I kind of think, and maybe I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of think that in this new era, if you look at the NFL ratings down, I wonder if people are watching football on Thanksgiving the way they used to. Usually the games aren't that good. Yeah, you know, it's always the Detroit Lions, which, you know, you get what you get. This year you got the Dallas Cowboys. They're, what are they, 4-6 or 3-5 or 4-5? I think they're 4-5. They're not exactly killing it out there. And so I don't know if people watch, but I do note that you eat a lot more quickly. And the other thing that's become a staple over the last couple of years at Thanksgiving is the family is not usually of one mind as it relates to Donald Trump. And so you're going to have, at my dinner table on Thanksgiving, I'm going to have a couple of the most ardent Donald Trump supporters you will ever meet. I mean, people for whom this guy can do no wrong. They think he is the greatest president in the history of the country, and they're not bashful about sharing that. And you've got family members who have, shall we say, the exact opposite point of view. And I think that happens more often these days, and politics, you know, is always divisive. I try and be winsome when I talk about politics because, you know, you have to be able to disagree with people and you have to be able to have an opinion. But Thanksgiving is just one of those times that's kind of tough. And so I wonder, are you looking forward to Thanksgiving? Are you kind of dreading Thanksgiving? How do you deal with difficult family members? There's always one family member that has no table etiquette that makes you kind of grossed out. So you got to, you know, there's a whole lot going on, a lot of interfamily dynamics at Thanksgiving. If you've got any thoughts on Thanksgiving, I'd love for you to chime in at 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Do you watch the NFL on Thanksgiving anymore, or have you given that up for any one of a number of reasons? Thanksgiving traditions. When we return on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons, KMOX.
Hey, 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 it's John Hancock. I'm in for another hour. I misspoke earlier. I thought the lovely and talented Ryan Recker was going to be here starting at 10 o'clock tonight, but he's off because he's filling in for the vacationing Mark Reardon. So that means Gary Nolan is going to be your host for Overnight America. I know Gary a little bit from Mid-Missouri. He's on a Mid-Missouri station out there. He's quite a good talk show host. Gary's a libertarian, and he's got a lot of insights, and he talks, gosh, he's been doing talk radio for decades. I think I remember listening to him back when I was in the Missouri General Assembly, which was 100 years ago. So there you have it. And we've been talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. You're looking forward to it. It's just around the corner, a week and a couple of days, or are you dreading it? Is it kind of a challenging time to have all the disparate units of your family together, or is it a celebration and a thankful time? I will tell you that I don't think, generally speaking, most of us really appreciate just how great we have it in this country. We live in the greatest country in the history of the human race. It's been more blessed, been more prosperous, been more successful than any country ever conceived in all of human history. And we should be thankful and appreciative of that. And that's one of the many things that I find to be thankful for on Thanksgiving every year. And I think it would behoove us to really spend some time and be thankful. But I'll tell you something I'm not so thankful about. This cold weather. It's really kind of ticked me off because it came at us out of nowhere. You know, here we were cruising along. We had a very hot summer. September was lovely. October, very nice. Very nice outside, and still enjoying the barbecue grill out there in October. I'd toss a couple of steaks on, you know, and maybe a hamburger every once in a while. And it's going great. Got the patio furniture out, the cushions looking very nice in the backyard. And then, boom, boom, out of nowhere, here comes this, like, Arctic air. And so not only have I not raked any leaves, or more accurately, not only has my wife not raked any leaves, Georgianne, I love you. So we got all these leaves down. Now here comes the snow. And you got the ice coming at you. and all of it sitting on top of those leaves that you haven't raked yet. Meanwhile, my patio furniture sitting out there, my cushions, lovely cushions, they're frozen, probably going to be ruined now. I'm going to have to replace those after fixing my dog. You know, I'm running. There's a limit to how much money you have out there. And now they say it's going to snow, Anderson. Was Thursday we're looking at snow? Is that what they said? He doesn't know. He's my guy, Mike Anderson. But I did hear somewhere that we may be getting some snow on Thursday. So that's more snow on top of the leaves that haven't been raked. It is not a good time to have these massive weather shifts. However, having said all of that, I am thankful as we go into the Thanksgiving season that we live in a place that does, in fact, experience all four seasons. How boring it would be to wake up every day in Miami where it's 72 degrees, sunny, and the beach is a half a mile away from your house. Yeah, that would be pretty miserable. Nobody wants to do that. No. We get the Midwest here. Summer is hot. Spring is lovely. Fall is delightful. The leaves changing on the trees. And then winter, nice and brisk and cold out there. The four seasons. Well, there's nothing quite like it. And so good luck with those leaves, folks, because you're going to need it. They're going to be miserable raking them up once the snow clears out. Then, of course, it's time to get the Christmas lights out. Yes, that time of year. You get the little ice glistening on the ground. You're waiting for that first snowfall, 4 inches, shoveling the driveway, putting out the Christmas lights. It puts you in the spirit. I don't like to talk, Anderson, but we do Christmas. Perhaps only the Clauses of the North Pole do Christmas bigger and better than we do. We've got two trees decked out. We've got the formal tree in the dining room, and that's got all the White House Christmas ornaments from all the years on that. It's kind of got the white lights on it and all the fancy ornaments. And then we got the family tree in the family room that's got all of the ornaments that the kids made in school and all of the kind of stuff going on. Georgianne puts lights all over the house. She puts lights around the piano in the living room, and there's lights going up the banister going upstairs. She's got lights outside. She's got lights on the bushes. And it is, and then she, the candles and the smells and the stockings on the chimney with care, all of that happening, and it's all going to happen, bam, starting close of business Thursday. Once we polish off that last piece of turkey, once we kick the last family member out of the house, and I know who it is every year, it's the same one. And once all that happens, then we go into full-on Christmas mode, and there is nothing. There is nothing like Christmas. 436-7900. If you want to talk about it, I mean, there's just nothing like it. The Christmas music, oh, coming over the radio, when you're not listening to the Voice of St. Louis, of course. It is the most glorious time of year. My favorite season of all time. I don't even care about presents anymore, by the way. And so don't bother getting me any Christmas presents. Let's just enjoy that spirit of goodwill. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men, women, children, boys and girls, dogs and cats. Well, we've had a fascinating hour visiting with all of you. We started off getting an update on the California wildfires from Steve Futterman. He's been covering it down there. And Mike wants to get the last word. Mike, we've got just a minute left in this first hour, but I wanted to share it with you. Your thoughts, Mike.
Well, I want to share with you the temperature at the house of Thanksgiving. And, you know, with the stove going and the stovetop going.
It gets pretty hot in there.
The women want to start opening windows, and the guys are going, "What are you talking about?" And the owner of the house, naturally, they want to start turning the thermostat down. So, and I like to add more gas on the fire. So when I ever hear one of the gals say, "It's getting warm in here," I go, "Oh yeah, it really is."
So and you like it? You like it nice and toasty on Thanksgiving at the house, Mike?
Yeah,
fascinating.
But I can start taking layers off, and there's always an argument.
Well, there's nothing like the Thanksgiving tradition of Mike taking his clothes off there, and you know, it's I'm sure the family loves that, and it's got to be quite the show.
Serious. few layers. Come on.
All right, we got to go. Hey, Mike, thanks so much. Hey, next hour is going to be fun on who knows what we're going to talk about, but we will right here on Cable X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.